Peter, hey, you're going to share a little bit to the kiddos with us. Thank you for that.
For anybody who wants to come and see, you're going to see a lot better up the front than you are where you're sitting. So feel free to come.
Can you hold it?
I should have grabbed something from it there.
You okay? Did you have a nice bed today, Cynthia?
So, don't worry, no one's getting baptized or anything. I'm not cutting your thunder, Doug. But...
not a problem, go right ahead.
We've got some friends who are missionaries. And they tell us that in New Zealand, when we do children's talks and children's stories, we make them a bit too fluffy and friendly and a bit too cartoonish and not real enough. And that we need to sort of cut to the chase of what the story is really about. And the example they used is Noah's Ark. So we're going to talk about Noah's Ark this morning. So kind of stealing this off some friends and adapting it. But we all sort of know the stories of Noah's Ark. And we're going to do a bit of a reenactment down here on the floor of what the sort of story is about, which is probably not as friendly as everyone thinks. So everybody sort of knows that with Noah's Ark, you know, the world had been made and everything was all happy and going along okay. But it got to the point where there were good people in the world and bad people in the world. There was people that loved God, which was really just Noah and Noah's family. We've got Noah here and he looks like a happy chappy. And the other people just didn't like God, and you know, here we've got some people that are having a bit of a scrap in the street. And God was sad about everything that everyone but Noah had forgotten about him. He told Noah about his plan to start again and make himself an ark. And God said, here's how. So God and his family began to work on the ark. And in the photo here, we've got a nice wee happy boat which doesn't look anything like the real ark. And I must confess, we've got a nice wee boat that doesn't look anything like the real ark either. But for our illustration, it'll do the job. Then when it was done, God said, take your family and two of every animal into the ark. Animals creeped, crawled and hopped and galloped into Noah's new boat. So here we've got Noah trying to push an elephant into a ridiculously small boat. And if you've ever pushed a big fat sheep up a race, you know that one man pushing an elephant up a hill is not really going to work that well. So I'm sure God gave Noah a bit more of a hand and made it slightly easier than that. So here we sort of skip a bit, but we're not going to skip a bit here. So pretty much Noah and his family got on the boat. So Cynthia, you've got some people that you've decorated. And we've got some people that we've decorated, and we're going to put them on the boat. Unfortunately, they didn't have life jackets back then. The rest of the people were put in the advantage. So some other people didn't manage to get on the boat because they were the people that didn't love God and other people that told Noah that he was mad and everything else. So what it says next is, after everybody was inside, the rain began to fall and fall. And it also says the waters came up from the deep. And the ark rocked this way and that on the rising water. So we've got some water here. And we're going to fill it up. And we've got just enough water that the boat's actually floating. See, the rain finally stopped, and after 40 days and 40 nights, it went down. The water had covered everything in the world, and everybody inside the ark was safe, and Noah and his family were very happy. And you can see them here praising God, which I'm sure is exactly what they did. One day Noah sent a dove to find land. It flew and flew, never found any, so it came back. 1 week later, Noah sent the dove out again. This time it brought him an olive leaf. Noah cheered, it must have found land. The ark finally came to rest on top of a mountain. God told Noah to leave the ark. Noah and his family praised God. God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky. It was a promise. It was a sign of his promise to never flood the earth again. And there's the rainbow and Noah and all the happy animals jump out. And that's the end of the story in the children's Bible. But we all know that there was two lots of people in that story. And one lot was at the end of there nice and happy and praising God and seeing the rainbow. And one lot weren't. And that's sort of the harsh reality of it, is that the people on the boat were happy and it was wonderful for them, but the people that weren't on the boat, it wasn't so great for them. And you'll see that here with these other people, that the people that are in the water are sort of not so happy, and they're sort of falling to bits of it here, and they're a bit dead. When the people on the boat here are still nice and strong and happy. So that's probably just something to take home today, is that we've all heard the Noah's Ark story before, but we've got to remember that there's two groups of people in that story, and one lot are all happy this morning at the end, and one lot aren't. And I guess for us in our walk with God, we need to make sure that we're on the boat, I suppose we say, and not off the boat. So, yeah, I'd just like to pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the stories in the Bible, and we thank you that they're so relevant and simple, and that they're able to be understood by all of us. And we just pray that we would be like Noah, and that we would love you, and that we would trust you to do the crazy things that you ask us to do, because we know that your plans are best. And we pray for our friends that aren't on the boat yet, and we pray that they would we would help you let them get to know you better, and that we'd just pray that we could have as many of our friends as possible and people we know on the boat with us, and knowing you and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Peter. Your help is there. Wonderful. Just before we sing together and worship God, I mean, the truth of that story is it's not a happy story in some ways, is it? It really isn't. And thank you, Peter, for presenting it so well. Because it is National Children's Day, I wonder if one or two just briefly might like to pray for our children. I think that so often we forget that they're not the children, they're not the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Jesus said some pretty interesting things about our children and about us. He said, unless you become like one of these, you won't even see the kingdom of God. And if we thought about that for any length of time, that would scare us. So maybe one or two might like to bring our children before the Lord, and then we'll worship together. It'd be great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of children, that it was part of your original plan that we multiply and fill the earth and bring glory to you and to be able to enjoy it with other people. And Father, we thank you that new life is possible. You gave us this privilege of being able to have new life. And we pray for our children. They are a real gift. And help us to remember that, not to ignore them or to put them down, but to encourage them, to nurture them in your ways, Father, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you that you tell us in your word that you want us to become like little children so that we can see you as they see you, Lord God. And I just pray that that we would support the children in our church, and we would walk alongside them, Lord God, and look at you the way that they look at you, with the innocence and the humility, Lord God. I pray that we wouldn't see all the pressures in the world, but we would just look at you, who you are. And I pray that it wouldn't be them and us, but it would be us all together, and that we would unite, that the children wouldn't be the children, but it would be us as a church. And I just pray that we would just look towards that, Lord God, and just be one, and learn from Cynthia and the way that she looks at you, and the way that Hayden looks at you, Lord God, and see your truth.
Lord, I want to pray for our kids and just get to that understanding that children sense things even in the womb. And Lord, right from when they're born, they're picking up things from us as parents and grandparents and friends and aunts and uncles. Lord, I pray that we would be an incredible godly example to them, that what we are every day of the week is the example that you would have us for them. Lord, we pray that they would grow and they would feed on you, that even the things that they hear from you that we think they're not too young to understand, but they're still taking it on board. And Lord, I pray that they would grow and grow strong, that they would be leaders as they come to adulthood, that even as kids in their school, even like Cynthia, that she'll be a leader in her school and just teach people how to know you. Lord, thank you for our children, and we pray that they would grow up to be strong people in you.
If you're close to one of these little ones, would you be so gracious as to just lay your hands on that? I just want to pray that priestly blessing over them. I'd love you to just be laying hands on them so it's a together thing. And if you're a child, a young person here today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I was reminded this past week that when the Lord turns his face toward you, it's like the face of a little baby that looks at its mum, and its mum goo-goos at it and makes all those strange noises that we wouldn't do to any other person on earth. And the response of the little one is joy. And so may you experience this joy today as you see the face of the Lord all over you. God bless you, kids. Thank you, Kayla.
Do the kids want to stay in for worship today and then head to Sunday school?
Yes, why not?
Cool. Awesome. So as I was preparing for the service today, I was looking through the Psalms, and I came across Psalm 86:5, which is a Psalm of David. And one of the verses in it, verse 5, was, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good. You're abounding in love to all who call on you." And I just thought that wee verse just summarised where we're heading with our worship today. The themes of both of our songs are about God's goodness, how he's faithful, how he's righteous, but how he's also a loving Father that seeks relationship with us. So as we press in and we worship him this morning, let us just reflect on God's goodness and what that really means for us. So let's just stand and we'll pray and we'll move into Good Father. Father God, as we worship this morning, may our praise be acceptable in your sight, Lord. And may you meet us here, whatever our circumstances, wherever our heart is at, Lord. We praise you and that you are a faithful and unchanging God. And Lord, we thank you that your goodness knows no bounds. Holy Spirit, we welcome your touch and your revelations as we praise you here this morning. Thank you,
Father. Yeah.
confidence in their direction, we thank you, Lord, that you have never got to let us down. That you have heard, Father. And before we finish singing this final chorus this morning, let's just take some time to really speak out God's faithfulness and His goodness to us. Hazel and I will lead you in singing a slightly different line, which is just in the same tune as the chorus. So feel free to either soak up in that and really resonate with the God, His goodness for you, or speak out and join us, whatever wants you. So we're going to sing How You're Never Gonna Leave.
Children. Sure.